Missed an episode of your favorite podcast? Choose from over a decade of content in our archives. Not just the latest episode. All free at GCNlive.com.
Welcome back to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio. And now, here's Gene Steinberg.
We have David Hatcher Childress joining Gene and Chris. Remember to go to plus.theparacast.com, plus.theparacast.com, where you learn about the Paracast Plus. We give you the exclusive After the Paracast podcast, and then teach you how to say that five times fast. We also have a high-resolution audio copy of our show with the network ads omitted. More stuff coming, a video channel and everything, plus.theparacast.com. Sign up, and if you order a one-year or five-year subscription, you get a copy of the ebook version of Stalking the Tricksters free. We have David Hatcher Childress trying to discuss the construction techniques of the ancients using molten metal. They were able to do that?
Well, right. And that's kind of my point, is that these structures, these places, specifically in this instance, Tiwanaku and Pumapunku, they're really metallurgical centers. They're, rather than being some cult center and religious center that's so fancy with artificial lakes and rivers that are diverted and all kinds of stuff, huge structures as well. The whole area itself is, in my mind, it's a metallurgical plant. And of course, in that area, there are lots of metals. The Andes is a great mining area, and Tiwanaku was known to have sheets of gold that were literally wallpapered some of the walls and stuff like that. So it was really a fabulous gold city of metals, of bronze. And that's technology right there. So here you have, in a sense, a giant city. But rather than just being, what archaeologists would say, oh yeah, they just wanted a pyramid so priests could do sun ceremonies, a couple of times a year. But in reality, I mean, they're just missing the whole point, which is this, there had to be a huge metallurgic processing plant somewhere to process to, you've got to wash the ores, then you've got to heat them, you have to have kilns. There are these towers that are all around Lake Titicaca. Archaeologists say they're burial towers, yet these towers that could have easily have been the kilns. You need charcoal. You've got literally have to make these super hot furnaces. You then melt the ore. Then you've got to mix alloys together in order to create bronze and whatnot. So rather than having just some simple people trying to create a cult center, what you have instead is a Bethlehem Steelworks that's with a foundry, and you've got molten metals, you've got raw ores, you've got to have charcoal and kilns. And in the end, you have all of these ironsmiths and goldsmiths bashing out gold plates and literally chisels and other metal artifacts out of bronze. And they're pouring it into the blocks and using that for that to hold the blocks together. So, when I go to Tiwanaku, I'm seeing a giant metal foundry, but archaeologists, don't see that at all.
But what happened to all the metal, the fabricated objects, the tools, the things that were being created at this complex? I mean, why don't we have any evidence of that?
Well, there is evidence, and if you go to the museum at Tiwanaku, you'll see some of those. But most of them are gone. The whole place has been looted. And in fact, essentially, again, if you're just a wandering tribe moving through the Andes and you come across the ruins of this giant city, and Tiwanaku is completely, utterly destroyed through some, in my mind, through some cataclysm, earthquakes, and literally a tidal wave from Lake Titicaca that wiped it out. But, and so the buildings have, and are huge, have, you know, they've come down. And so because some of the walls are destroyed, you'll see some of these metal clamps. But if you're a wandering tribe, you're going to take those metal clamps. You'll pry them out, and then you'll hammer it into a knife or a sword or a spearhead or something like that. The ones that they find are ones that are buried. And because this tidal wave wiped out Tiwanaku and Pumapunku, much of it's just buried under literally 20 feet of mud and muck. So as they dig that out, they'll then find blocks of stone that have the metal pieces in them, and they're still there. And so you will see some in the museum. But, you know, gold, metal is so valuable. And whenever somebody...
Especially to a Stone Age civilization.
Well, that's right.
Well, okay, let's move on here a little bit because we need to get to some of these questions. We do have a couple of questions about your latest book, which was on the Vimanas, which are the ancient aircraft of India. And a couple of people have kind of scratching their heads and they're wondering, you know, in one of your questions here, it says in your work on Vimanas, you draw heavily on the Vimanika Shastra, work psychically channeled and written down in post-World War I years. The question is, what are your reasons for treating it as a generally ancient text, which I'm not sure you do. This is a question from Bonaventure. And then another question is, your theories on the literal reality of Vimanas have been called the fundamentalist reading of material, which was written more so as allegoric myth or the advancement of spiritual understanding, and less so as a factual account of warring gods. What are your thoughts on that? And the practice of supporting historical theories with religious texts in general.
Well, sure. I mean, in my mind, religious texts and myths and legends from around the world have some validity. We can't necessarily take them completely literally. And, I mean, I think it's fair to assume, although many people do take everything in the Bible or the Quran or Bhagavad Gita or Ramayana completely literally. I mean, this is, you know.
And that's a scary thought.
Yeah, and I mean, I certainly don't do that. And but yet I don't completely discount them either. To me, there's, I try to find a balance there that, yeah, there's something valid here. It's an interesting story. Can there be some truth to it? And it's certainly when it comes to, say, Vimanas, with the whole idea, I mean, it's not just Ramayana, the Mahabharata, talking about Vimanas. The Kebra Nagast, which is a Ethiopian sacred book, talks about flying ships and airships and the kings, people flying, very specific about that.
Well, I think Solomon had a flying carpet, didn't he?
Well, yeah, and King Solomon supposedly, yeah, flew, and that's also in the Kebra Nagast. You have the Ark of the Covenant that we were talking about earlier. It flew, and it caused things to fly. The Israelites followed this pillar of fire through the desert, also these lights, and the Ark itself would lead them and supposedly fly through the air. You have
so we should take all these things literally then.
Well, I mean, I think we, in my mind, I think we can interpret some of these things as yeah, that there's something there. When it comes to the Ark of the Covenant, as an example, and it's my new book that I'm working on now, there's something to it. I mean, it's not just, in my mind, it's not just completely, utterly fabricated. There's something there. They had some object. They carried it. Whether it could do all the things that they say it did, I doubt if it could. But it's, you know, I'm not going to just discount it. And in fact, you know, I'm convinced, and anyone who reads my books would know this, that I'm convinced that in ancient times, they had advanced technology, much as we have today.
We have David Atcher Childress. We're talking about ancient mysteries and more with Gene and Chris. You're in
the Paracast.
Neighbors, are you tired of dealing with a slow web hosting provider? Well, check out A2 Hosting and their screaming fast WIF server platform. They even have SSDs that load pages 300% faster than the competition. Ready to give your site a speed boost? Well, tell you what, neighbors, head on over to a2hosting.com. That's A2, that's number 2, a2hosting.com. Check out their Prime Hosting account. And get this, neighbors, they're even giving you an exclusive 25% off discount for all our listeners. 25%. And remember, their Guru Crew support team is standing by 24/7, 365 days a year to answer any of your questions. Now, to get the discount, use the coupon code GENE when you check out.
Making the right decisions is a challenge to investors. Are we going to see economic growth, slide into a recession, or at worst, depression? Hi, Ted Anderson from Midas Resources. We all know when a company acts irresponsibly, divesting ourselves in a move towards safety is prudent. When the market becomes volatile, U.S. treasuries are a safe haven. But what do you do when the U.S. government overextends itself and spends beyond its means? Many investors are turning toward gold as a common sense alternative to traditional paper investments. Midas Resources has put together a powerful book titled 10 Reasons to Own Gold, discussing costs, benefits, risks, featuring full-color illustrations, weights, and measures. The book is free and can be yours by calling 800-686-2237. Paper investments are dwarfed by gold's 6,000-year history. Discover how gold may be right for you and your IRA by calling 800-686-2237. Whether buying or it's time for you to sell, the book is free. Call 800-686-2237.
Don't complain about your cable bill going up and up and up. Do something about it. Grab a pencil and jot down this special number. 1-855-905-MY-TV. The more cable TV rates go up, the better digital satellite TV looks. Say goodbye to the cable guy and get more of your favorite channels in 100% digital quality for less money. Call 1-855-905-MY-TV. Sign up for packages starting as low as $19.99 and there's no equipment to buy. You get free HD TV upgrade, a free DVR upgrade, and free professional installation. You control what you watch when you watch it. Record your favorite shows. Pause and rewind live TV. Even skip the commercials. Watch local channels too. At just $19.99, what are you waiting for? Pull out your major credit or debit card. Call 1-855-905-MYTV. 1-855-905-MYTV. Say goodbye to the cable guy. Cut costs and get more. 1-855-905-MYTV. 1-855-905-MYTV.
Most people know that drinking pure high alkaline pH water is the most important factor in maintaining high energy and vibrant health. Most experts agree that the water you drink should be at a pH level of 8 or higher. AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops combine a unique formula of the most alkaline minerals. Using plasma pH drops is the best way to make your water alkaline to help you get rid of acid and regain your health and energy. Simply put 10 drops in the water you drink to raise the pH to a healthy level. Alkalizing water helps your body rid itself of acidic waste and increases the oxygen content of your body. Disease organisms like bacteria, viruses, and cancer cannot survive in an alkaline high pH environment. Order your bottle of AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops now by going directly to AlkaVision.com. That's AlkaVision.com. Or call 269-409-1776. 269-409-1776 today.
We'd like to hear from you. If you have a comment or question about the Paracast, send it to news@theparacast.com. That's news@theparacast.com. And don't forget to visit our famous Paracast community forums at forum.theparacast.com.
With Gene and Chris, we have David Hatcher Childress, adventurer, man about town. No, is that true? No, I don't think it's true. Let's continue discussing the ancient mysteries. So the point here, I gather, is that traditional archaeologists, David, are trying to, whether it's done with Swiss cheese logic or anything, find a conventional explanation for everything that people like you report in terms of things that show advanced technologies. You're assuming it can't, so let's twist it around to find ways that it fits. Is that what's happening here?
Well, right. And I mean, what I'm maintaining is that things that we have today, and whether the science, the technology, whether it's flight or electricity, whether it's power tools, giant cranes, and even, as far as I'm concerned, heavy machinery. We have it today, and there's no reason why in ancient times people couldn't have had those things too. When you look at technology...
No evidence. In order to have heavy cranes and large mechanical devices, I mean, there would be at least some evidence of this, and we have absolutely none. We have no evidence of any sort of high technology from the past. I mean, you know, sure, we have the Baghdad battery and the Greek, I'm not sure how to pronounce it, but
the Antikythera device is what you're talking about. Yeah.
Antikythera device. All I'm saying is that we don't really have evidence of large heavy machinery or power equipment or anything along those lines.
Well, I think we do. I mean, that's what my book, Technology of the Gods, and my book on Brahmanas is all about that.
Well, we have evidence as far as the results of utilizing that sort of technology, but the actual tools that were used, we don't have solid physical evidence and artifacts that show an exalted high technology.
Well, okay, yeah, sure, that's right. And we do have, there are certain gold artifacts that are really jewelry. And in fact, I was just in Colombia viewing the famous gold museum where they have these so-called famous gold airplanes there. And they are there. And they have them on display. They're small. And they're gold. They're pure gold. And in fact, the gold museum in Bogota is full of gold. And, gold is indestructible. All gold from ancient times still exists today. You cannot destroy gold. As an element, I mean, and that's something special about gold. Other metals and most other elements and materials, except for basalt or so, and quartz crystals and things, although they can be crushed and ground. And metals particularly will oxidize and they'll rust. Gold is too soft to really make any kind of meaningful tool out of. Okay in electrical devices, and it's a good conductor of electricity, and it doesn't corrode, but otherwise you can't really make saws and chisels and hammers and things like that out of gold. You have to make those really out of, ideally, of iron and steel or, say, bronze and things like that. But all those metals will corrode and rust away. If you took a bulldozer and parked it in your backyard and left it there, over time, maybe it would take 100 years or something, it'll rust away and it'll literally just turn into a pile of red dust. And that's what would happen to an aircraft or any kind of vehicle. I mean, as an example, we don't really know what Greek ships look like. We don't have very good renditions of and pictures of them. There are a few. And we fortunately have some ceramics from ancient Greece. And there is, on the island of Rhodes, there's one carved relief of a prow of a Greek ship. And we know the Greeks had lots of ships. And they built huge ships, and they sailed all over the Mediterranean and out into the Atlantic and up the Black Sea. I mean, they must have had thousands and thousands of ships, but they didn't really depict them in their artistry and stuff. Yeah, so, I mean...
Well, how about Greek fire? What was Greek fire, do you think? We still don't...
Well, you see, yeah, more of... And Greek fire is something like that, too, where they had this fire, this chemical mixture, and it would burn underwater. and they would fling it with catapults and stuff onto enemy ships, and would start the ships on fire, and they couldn't put it out. And even we don't know what it was today. We know there are descriptions of it. In ancient times, too, people wanted to keep secrets. And if you read about stories, and I try and put all this as much as I can into my books on the Manas and technology of the gods and whatnot, but ancient people were constantly, they wanted to keep secrets. And when they had technological secrets, Greek fire is a good example, even of flight and building some kind of airship, whether it was, could have been like a Zeppelin or a balloon or whatever.
I want to know what Soma was.
Well, yeah. So anyway, ancient people, this is a problem that we have too, where certain guilds and, you were part of a Masonic guild, or blacksmiths were very much like this. And in fact, people who worked as blacksmiths in the Middle Ages had special reputations, and people were afraid of them. You could be cursed by blacksmiths and kind of evil eye. And there's the expression called a tinker's dam, a tinker was also a kind of a minor sort of blacksmith who went around fixing people's pots and things like that. But because blacksmiths worked with molten metals and hot fires, and they did things that other people couldn't do, and people had a fear of them. And they had secrets. You can't do what they do. They have these, certain talents, that they were taught, and now they go from town to town and they use their talents, but they keep it a secret. So this has gone on throughout ancient times, and throughout history, if you read things, they'll even explain things. This is in some of the ancient Indian texts, where they'll say, and in China they would do this. They get some inventor who makes something for the king, and then the king has him killed, so he can't go and make it for somebody else.
He can't profit from his inventions because they didn't have patent laws in those years. I'm being a little silly here, but we're going to do a break now and get more of listener questions and things from David Hatcher Childress, adventurer and archaeologist, man about town who learned in the Orient the incredible secret to cloud men's minds so they cannot see him. Well, that's the wrong person. That's not David. That's Lamont. We'll talk about that later. With Gene and Chris, you're in
the Paracast.
Free from the shackles of corporate America, we're the place for independent thinkers. GCN.
Graphic Converter is the image manipulation tool for the rest of us. It does not use any database. You get full control of all your files. Want to view the images of a folder? Drag it into Graphic Converter and a powerful browser opens up to show your image files. You could use it for slideshows. You could use it to import images from digital cameras or from scanners. Need to do some image editing? You can do that too in Graphic Converter. Also, print catalogs. Convert from so many formats I can't even list them. Download now to see if Graphic Converter is good for you, like 1.5 million other users. Guess what? You could save money when you buy Graphic Converter. Use the coupon code NIGHTOWL. Use the coupon code NIGHTOWL to get a special price for Graphic Converter. Go to LemkeSoft.com. That's LemkeSoft.com. LemkeSoft.com. LemkeSoft.com.
It's no secret that government and big business buy in bulk and get huge discounts not available to the little guy. Until now. Introducing a breakthrough crowd buying website where people can join together, buy in bulk, and get massive discounts on millions of popular products. It's TogetherSave.com. TogetherSave.com. You can save 20, 30, or even 50% off tablets, smartphones, cars, appliances, textbooks, sports equipment, video games, and much more. All with free delivery. Check it out. TogetherSave.com. Visit now and start group buying today at TogetherSave.com.
Good people need help. The homeowners association said we had weeds and fined us $25. We told them they had the wrong house. They said if we didn't pay it, they'd file a lien. Our attorney demanded photographs, witnesses, and told them if they couldn't provide this, they must cease and desist. Issue solved. Worry less and live more with LSProtection.com. That's LSProtection.com or call 855-340-SAVE. That's 855-340-7283.
Results will vary from case to case. What good is a Big Berkey water filter?
We get that question a lot here at BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com. And in a word, the answer is protection. Protection from water main breaks, E. coli contamination, environmental chemical spills, pesticide runoff, chlorine taste and smell, and all forms of fluoride. Plus, Big Berkey water filters are the original gravity water filter system and most trusted on the market for a reason. Tested by multiple independent NSF EPA certified labs, they are the gold standard in water purification. At only 1.7 cents a gallon, a single set of filters can last for 5 to 10 years. That means big savings. Big Berkey, the one that's powerful enough to purify stagnant pond water. Get a Big Berkey today at BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com. GCN listeners receive 5% off all ceramic filter systems. Visit our website or call 1-877-99-BERKEY. That's 877-99-BERKEY. Big Berkey Water Filters, for the love of clean water.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Here is what one doctor has to say about Extendovite.
I would like to thank you, Don, for making my job so much easier, because your products just make it so simple, right? To fool around with a lot of exotic things that don't work, we can just put them on your product and things start to work almost right away. I've had dozens of patients with heart problems who have corrected them, and what it's doing, there's so much garlic in there that has a yeast-killing effect. The yeast is a big problem in the gut, pushes the liver hard. It also has metal chelating effect, and most of the other herbs in there I find that strengthen the arteries. They help to neutralize free radicals. You're limited close to what we do in our program as you can get as far as one supplement goes. It's working on the gut, it's working on the liver, it's working on the arteries. What more can you ask for?
To get your Extendivite, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Jerome Clark, author of the UFO Encyclopedia and other books. You're listening to the Paracast.
I know that David Hatcher Childress is going to try to find some ancient Indian curse or something after I said some silly things.
If he does it, I'll help him.
Both of you.
Okay, here's one. I got a good question for you. What are some of the most exciting discoveries in the fields of archaeology and ufology over the past few years that intrigue you the most? That one comes from our poster, Psychedelic Alchemist. So most exciting discoveries in the fields of ufology and archaeology in the past few years. Anything kind of jump out?
You know, the next issue of our magazine, World Explorer, has a couple of interesting articles in it, and one of them is about this place in Indonesia called Padang Gurung, or Padang Gunung. And it is this basalt mountain, like Nan Madol, of all these prismatic basalt stacked up on this huge mountain. I've not been there, and I'm wanting to go. I only really found out about it about a year or so ago. But they're dating it to around 20,000 BC. It's apparently man-made, and it's intriguing to me because it's like Nan Madol in the Micronesian island of Ponape, where it's what would appear to be millions of tons of basalt.
Wow, that would be the oldest archaeological site on the planet that we've discovered.
It would be. I mean, this would be 10,000 years older than Göbekli Tepe, say, which is the one they're saying is the oldest at this point. And I've always been intrigued with Indonesia and kind of Pacific Islands there. That is where the banana originated. And bananas are kind of a weird thing, since we're talking about ancient civilizations and whatnot. Bananas are all over the world, and they're mysterious. They're a complete food. Bananas are thought to have originated in northern Australia, New Guinea, the very eastern part of Indonesia. And bananas are a tallest grass. Any banana plant is only a year old. It makes one bunch of bananas. And it's a seedless fruit. Bananas are one of the few foods that you can completely live on. And it's some kind of genetically engineered food from 10 to 20,000 years ago, and it's coming out of Indonesia, apparently. And it's, I mean, a banana, you cannot plant a banana. There's no seed in a banana. Bananas, grasses have to reproduce either by seed or from tubers in the ground. And that's how bananas have to reproduce. You cannot plant a banana. But yet bananas are all over the world. They're in remote islands. They're in remote jungle areas of South America. They're in remote jungle areas of Africa. They're on virtually every island in the Pacific and throughout Indonesia and Asia. It's the world's most popular fruit, the banana. Yeah. And it's something we eat every day, practically.
And we don't know where it comes from.
Yeah, but you know, and plant botanists, they can't explain it. In nature, nature does not create a seedless fruit. That has to be genetically engineered.
Mm.
Sometime, I mean, over 10,000 years ago, it would seem that someone genetically engineered the, perhaps ancient aliens, engineered the banana and then distributed it all over the world. That was very nice of them
to do that.
Yeah,
I mean, bananas and sunflower seeds are the only two things that you can eat only them and survive on, to my knowledge.
Is that right? Okay.
Yeah, sunflower seeds is another one.
There's a fruit in Peru called the chirimoya fruit, and it's a kind of a little bit like a pear. Supposedly, it too is very nutritious, and you can completely.
As far as plants,
and it has seeds, by the way.
There's a lot of fat boys out there and college dudes that think that they plant their bananas all over the place, but.
But anyway, I like to bring up bananas because there's something so familiar to us. We consume so many bananas, all of us, and yet we don't realize how mysterious. I mean, the banana itself is unexplained. So these things are all around us, and it's kind of my point when we were talking about bananas or where's the evidence of any ancient technology or whatever. In many ways, it's all around us, but we have to look at it and know what we're looking at. And when you start, as the modern archaeologists do, with just a basic assumption that's wrong, which is that ancient man was primitive. They didn't have tools. They didn't go anywhere. They didn't like to travel. And they did everything with brute force and as simply as they could. And yet, that's just a wrong assumption, and in my mind.
So basically, your supposition here is, let's find out how they did it, rather than assume they must have done it in some very primitive way.
Well, right. And in a way, what I'm also saying is, finding the right expert to explain things is also what's important. And in Egypt is a good example. When you go and you see the giant structures there, starting with the Great Pyramid, but there's plenty of stuff in Egypt. There's just so much, including the obelisks and everything. But when you're an Egyptologist and you've got your PhD from various universities and you've learned who all the pharaohs are and the dynasties, and you've even learned how to read some hieroglyphs and all that kind of stuff. But the thing that you're not an expert on is engineering and architecture. And, you haven't gone to school to learn how to build giant buildings. And from an engineer's perspective, you haven't gone to school to figure out how the Lincoln Memorial is going to be quarried and moved and built. That's not something that you've learned. So you're not an expert. You're an Egyptologist. You're an expert on the pharaohs of Egypt, but you're not an expert on quarrying buildings, moving giant blocks, and then, you know, what it would take to run a construction crew and build, say, the Great Pyramid. I mean, you don't know what you're talking about. But, and this is the problem. When you talk to Egyptologists, they think they do know what they're talking about. They think they're engineers. They think that they're architects. And they'll say, oh, well, you know, the pharaoh just ordered his guys to drag all these blocks up here and build a giant tomb for him, you know. It's that simple. I mean, that's what they'll say. And but they don't say, oh, well, here, let's ask this engineer over here from the University of Cairo what he thinks. No, they don't say that. And that engineer from the University of Cairo, he's not going to say, he'll be nonplussed. He will say, I can't tell you how they did this. I don't know. You know, I can't explain it. And I'm an engineer, but I don't know, you know, I can't read hieroglyphs and I don't know who the pharaohs are, but I can tell you that I don't know how they could have made this thing. So this is the problem, is that, a lot of the experts they're not experts. And they won't go to the people who are the experts, because those people will give them answers and questions that they don't want to hear, such as, we can't explain this. We don't know how they would do it. So this,
you're saying,
you know, this
like, is like going to a soccer goalie and asking them how to throw a major league fastball.
Well, and it's, you know, you're actually a smarter person if you realize you don't know very much.
Yeah.
When you think you know all kinds of things that you don't actually know, you're dumb, really, because yeah, you don't realize that you're stupid and you don't know all these things.
You have a bigger than your knowledge base. Well, let's move on real quick here. I got a question from Oakenwolf. We have been posting questions to our guests from him from time to time, and he's come out of the woodwork for this one. It's been a while since we've seen him, but one site that's always interested him, and he has yet to visit it, is American Stonehenge. He's wondering who really built it and for what reason, and also any thoughts that the Celtic Druids and could possibly have come over to America at any point.
With David Hatcher Childress and Gene and Chris, you're in
the Paracast.
Not just an alternative to the mainstream media. We're the premier independent talk radio network. We are GCN.
Attack of the Rockoids has been well received by critics and readers alike. It's a thrill-a-minute story you'll never forget. A former U.S. military intelligence officer is haunted by intense dreams about a beautiful woman pleading for his help after a terrible battle in outer space. But the dreams turn out to be true and thrust him into a telepathic love affair with a woman whose faraway planet is intent on destroying the Earth. And now the gripping tale continues in The Coming of the Protectors. It's the second book of the Rockoids trilogy, a galaxy-spanning adventure that pits our hapless heroes against powerful, fanatical enemies that threaten the lives of freedom-loving beings everywhere. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors, classic science fiction at its best, available now. For more details, visit Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids.com.
By now, you may have heard a bit about Bitcoins, but did you know Bitcoins are now over an $8.5 billion market? And did you know that over 65,000 businesses now accept Bitcoins? Listen, if you're already earning Bitcoins or trying to make money in the Bitcoin market, you've got to know BidBit.co. Why? Because BidBit.co is where you can easily receive Bitcoin by selling and auctioning off your own personal items or promote business products and services for Bitcoin. You heard right. Whether personal or business, you can now buy, sell, and auction your product and services quickly, easily, and securely for Bitcoin at BidBit.co, the first and only marketplace website to offer BidBit Escrow, a proprietary technology which gives buyers and sellers security and peace of mind because all transactions are protected. Start today. It's free to join, free to post, free to auction, and free to bid at BidBit.co. Buy, sell, bid, or auction everything Bitcoin. That's www.bidbit.co. BidBit.co.
Hi, this is Steve Sanchez, and based on a recent study, it was found that 57 million Americans had legal issues over the last 12 months, but only 60% of those studied sought out the services of a lawyer. Why? In a nutshell, affordability. Well, my friends at Legal Shield have created a solution that can help you not if, but when you need an attorney. For as little as $17 per month, Legal Shield will provide you unlimited access to qualified attorneys at an accomplished law firm for advice and counsel on legal issues, no matter how serious or trivial. Legal. For over 40 years and with 1.4 million families across North America, Legal Shield can help you, the loyal GCN listener. Representatives are standing by now to answer your questions, so call them now at 1-855-340-SAVE. That's 1-855-340-7283, or visit them at lsprotection.com. That's lsprotection.com.
Results will vary from case to case.
I'm Kay Swirling from KSCO Radio in Santa Cruz. I'm 93 years old, and I'm a big fan of Alex Jones because he has the courage to speak his mind more than just about anyone I know. Alex is just as bothered as I am about all the advertising you hear for toxic prescription drugs that make you sicker, not healthy. I prefer to give my body all 90 essential nutrients it needs for life to prevent disease, not compound it. My favorite complete supplement is Beyond Tangy Tangerine from Youngevity, which I take every day along with EFA Plus and Beyond OsteoFX. I recommend you go online to InfoWarsTeam.com to purchase these products and make them part of your daily regimen to get healthy and live longer. InfoWarsTeam.com.
Hi, this is Nick Pope. You're listening to the Paracast.
We have David Hatcher Childress with Gene and Chris in the Paracast, our final segment. Chris?
Well, before we went to break, I was wondering about American Stonehenge, and Oakenwolf is interested in your take on what it is. I'm not familiar with this particular site. Do you want to give us a little description of it and then give us your thinking about it?
Yeah, I've been there a couple of times. It's in New Hampshire. It's not too far from Boston, really, and it is a more or less a megalithic site. It has stone chambers and some standing stones and even dolmens and things like that. It is similar to the kind of Celtic or whatever Druid monuments that you find in England and Western Europe and stuff, and probably was built, in my mind, by that ancient Celt or whoever. I don't know who built it. It's also one of these sites where mainstream archaeologists, they refuse to really look at it. The guy, the owner of the site, told me back in the 90s how they had invited archaeologists from Harvard and Yale and University of Massachusetts and stuff to come and look at it and examine the site, and they refused. They simply wouldn't look at it. And, you know, so...
Why doesn't that surprise me?
Yeah, and so they just say it's the work of an eccentric farmer. You know, it's not some ancient megalithic site, some farmer in the...
Well, is it lined up astronomically, like the Wilshire Stonehenge? I mean, does it have, you know, like, does on the winter solstice, does the sun shine all the way down to the back of the wall or something like that? Or?
Well, yeah, stuff like that goes on there, and this standing stone supposedly lines up with the winter solstice and the equinoxes or something like that. So yeah, there probably is some archaeo-astronomy thing there, I would think. And the people have done, and then certainly the owners of the site is privately owned, and they have a bookstore there, and it's a fun place to go. But again, the mainstream archaeologists, I mean, they won't even look at it, according to him. I mean, they just refuse to even consider this. So you have...
Isn't that intellectually dishonest?
Well, and a lot of it is... It's kind of what we were talking about earlier about history and how history is his story. It's not her story or their story. And today, history is engineered. By controlling the past and what we think of the past and in a sense, who we are and where we've been and where we're coming from, by controlling all that, we can kind of control the future, in a sense. One of the things that's been going on in my mind in the last 100 years or something is that history's been made politically correct. And it's kind of a problem where, yeah, all these bad things didn't really happen in history. particularly what was going on, say, with Native Americans originally, and apparently North America, particularly the area of the United States, was completely depopulated by wars around 1200 A.D. And there's evidence that at least Siberian tribes, what they call Diné, Diné and Na-Diné speakers, swept, and they're Siberians, really. They came through Alaska and down through Canada and into the Midwest of America, where the mound builder sites were, and the Cahokia and these places, and they basically sieged all these towns and killed everybody and ate them.
They
moved in.
Jesus.
Yeah, they were cannibals too, and they were warlike tribes, and then they moved into the Southwest. And basically the Apache Indians. And, I mean, they're these Siberian speakers. And they didn't come 10,000 years ago across the Bering Strait.
Yeah,
they came around 1200 AD. Yeah, they're like total newcomers to the Americas. And they had their teepees. And in fact, in Siberia and Mongolia and stuff, people have exactly the teepees and the travois, those little carriers. I mean, everything that we associate with North American Indians and their lifestyle is how the Siberians and people still live today. The yurts and tents, this is how they lived. But so as a result, North America, really, at the time of European expansion into the Americas, North America had been completely decimated, and the tribes living there lived basically in the Stone Age. Even though in ancient older times, they had metals. They had all this copper from the Michigan, Lake Superior in northern Michigan. And there are tons and tons of copper, pure copper, came out of there. And in fact, archaeologists don't know where it went, all that copper. There was so much metal. And in Europe at that time, they actually had the Copper Age. And everybody had copper and was running around in British Isles and Mediterranean and Europe.
King for tin.
Yeah, and they had the tin. There were copper mines up in Wales and stuff like that. But a lot of they don't know where a lot of the copper came from, and it probably came from North America. Wherever you have to see the highways of any continent, look at the river system, and that's just what we have in North America too. The Mississippi, the Ohio valleys. And the whole idea that ancient people didn't cross the Gulf of Mexico like the Mediterranean, in the Mediterranean itself was a perfect highway for trade and people in boats and all the port cities all around the Mediterranean.
David, we're going to have to wrap it up here. I mean, that's I think a good place to end, so that when you come back we can pick this up where we left off today. Thank you so much for being on the show. I know you're a busy guy, and you don't do radio normally, and I really appreciate you coming on and answering some of our listeners' questions. I want to just mention before we go here that, I have my brother Brendan, who I'm very, very close to, is really going through a major health crisis right now. And all our listeners out there, there is a power in coherent thought from groups of people. And if you're listening to this, I would really like you to send out some positive vibes and a prayer possibly to my brother. He's in the hospital in Albuquerque. He's undergoing treatment for a bad esophageal tumor. Please, we need all the positive thoughts and vibes that we can marshal to help him through this health crisis, and I really would appreciate it if you do that for me. And also, David, again, thank you so much for being on, and good luck with your research and writing the book on the Ark of the Covenant. From what little I know of it, it's going to be fascinating. And again, we really appreciate you being on the show.
Hey, it was great. Thanks for having me.
Listen, David, tell our listeners, please, if they want to find out more about what you do and about Adventures Unlimited Press, where do they check it out?
Yeah, they should go to adventuresunlimitedpress.com. And check our website out. We've got lots of books and DVDs. And then we have our magazine, too, World Explorer Magazine. And we have a special website for that, too, called WexClub.com, W-E-X-C-L-U-B.com. CLUB.com, and then you'll see our magazine. Our new issue's just coming out in the next week or so.
You can find us on Twitter. We're known as the Paracast. Check out the Paracast on Twitter. Follow us. Maybe we'll follow you. We also have two official Paracast fan clubs over at Facebook. We're told if we get rid of one of them, we can't just combine the contents. It disappears. That's how Facebook works. We also like you to visit plus.theparacast.com, plus.theparacast.com. You can order up a subscription to our premium service, get the After the Paracast podcast, which is exclusive to subscribers, also the ad-free version of the Paracast. And by the way, we have the special deal. Chris is offering a free copy of the ebook version of Stalking the Tricksters if you subscribe to 1 year or 5 years of the Paracast Plus at plus.theparacast.com. And one more thing, as Apple sometimes says at their media events, if you subscribe to our weekly newsletter, the Paracast newsletter, over at theparacast.com, you get a copy of Secrets of the Mysterious Valley from Chris O'Brien. All this stuff that we give away free of charge. Again, send your prayers over to Brendan O'Brien, Chris's brother. He's fighting for his life, folks, and he needs all the support you can give him with your prayers. We have over 100,000 listeners around the world. So let's just send them good vibes, okay?
Thank you, Gene. Appreciate that.
David Hatcher Childress, thank you for joining us on the Paracast.
Thank you, guys.
The Paracast, featuring Gene Steinberg and Christopher O'Brien, is a copyrighted presentation of Making the Impossible, Incorporated. Tune in next week for a new adventure in The Paracast.
We are the premier independent talk radio network, the Genesis Communications Network, GCN.
Attention listeners, SurvivalLife.com is giving away free EverStrike permanent matches for a limited time only. These matches are waterproof and will light in any weather condition, rain, snow, or sleet. It will still throw a spark. Its built-in ferro rod strikes at 3,000 degrees, and it is good for 15,000 strikes. Normally, $15. Today, it's free. Get yours at freewaterproofmatch.com. Again, that's freewaterproofmatch.com. Hurry, supplies are limited. Visit freewaterproofmatch.com today.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. Have you ever wondered why banks, stockbrokers, investment advisors won't talk about gold IRAs? They've been available since 1986, yet the financial industry won't recognize the value of gold for your retirement. Gold has outperformed paper investments, yet no word about IRAs. If you would like to have gold for your retirement, call 800-686-2237. Don't get left behind by rising inflation and low returns. Call 800-686-2237. Secure your future and call 1-800-686-2237.
This alert just came in. This special announcement is for business owners and leaders of organizations who've been waiting for the right time to build. General Steel has made it impossible to wait any longer with rock-bottom prices that could save you thousands. That's right. General Steel, America's leader in pre-engineered structures, is offering buildings at prices you will never see again. Don't miss these prices. A 50 by 100 for $35,000. You heard right. That's 5,000 square feet for $35,000. Manufacturers, if you need a larger building, try a 100 by 100 commercial building for $129,000. You can't afford to rent with these prices. Imagine a 70 by 100 foot church building for under $69,000. With the economy improving and interest rates still at historic lows, you can't afford to wait. So call 866-91-STEEL. Lock in your price now. Call 866-91-STEEL. That's 866-917-8335.